I want to unapologetically preach to you moms today, but I also want to remind you, if you're dads, that you are, by ordinance of God, you are one with your wife, and what happens in your wife's life is not disconnected from you, so don't sit back and take your afternoon snooze early, but I trust that there will be something for all of us here this morning. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31, just for an opening scripture. I want to try hard to bless you as mothers and to encourage you as mothers to set a high bar, but not too high that you feel discouraged. I think that the proverb writer does that, or maybe you feel like it is too high of a bar, but Proverbs 31, we're not going to read this whole chapter, not even going to spend much time here, but these words came to my mind as I thought about being Mother's Day. Start at verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And it goes on to talk about all the activities that happen in the home of an industrious family, an industrious mother. Let's drop down to verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to praise the women who fear the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The title this morning is Motherhood, Choosing Godliness in Daily Life. The work of motherhood is very much of, we'll just kind of say, a daily grind in many ways. And there was a number of thoughts that were already shared this morning, not specifically in relation to motherhood, but that tied in very well with what I wanted to look at this morning. Brother Hans said that there are some times in life that what God wants from us is an I can't. Now, that might sound a little backwards from what you've been taught. You're supposed to have determination. And the storybook says you need to say, I think I can, right? Brother Hans said, sometimes God wants to hear you say, I can't. We're going to look at the story of a mother this morning who said, I can't. And what I want us to particularly gain this morning is this truth from God's word that insignificant things and the haven of your little home that may seem so secluded from other places and might seem just, it's just the daily grind, it's just the things we're doing, and I'm just being a mom. But in that, there is a God who sees and cares and knows, and he's up to something big. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. As I looked back over the sermons I've preached on Mother's Day, I've highlighted a number of different mothers, but I don't think that I ever preached on this mother who was a widow. Let's take the time to read the first seven verses, just a short story. There was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, What hast thou in thy house, in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet another vessel, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, I believe this story actually happened, and it's a beautiful little story of God working a miracle for a woman who said, I can't. I don't know what else to do. I have nowhere to turn. Now, we don't know very much about this woman. The rabbis teach, and I don't know if it's true or not, but historically they say that this was the wife of Obadiah. Now, if you remember the story back in 1 Kings 18, I believe, when there was no rain, remember wicked King Ahab, and God said, I want you told Elijah, this is Elisha now, go show yourself to King Ahab, and he met Obadiah. Now, it says Obadiah was a man who feared God, and he had taken the prophets of God, and he hid them by 50 in a cave, and he gave them bread and water. And this was in a time where King Ahab and Jezebel were out for Elijah's life. They were out for the lives of the prophets of God. They had indeed killed the prophets of God. And he said, he was a brave man who said, I'm going to hide them, I'm going to feed them, somehow undercover that the king didn't find out. Was this her husband? I don't know. But it does say that her husband was a man of God, he was a prophet, and Elisha seemed to have known him. It's fascinating to think about anyhow. But she had a debt that she could not pay. Her husband died. We don't know how. We don't know why. But he died and they still had a mortgage on their house, I suppose. I don't know what all it was. And just think about this story. How much was left in her house? Think about what it would be like to lose your husband, lose your income, have two boys. You know how much food growing boys can eat. And the food and the money dwindles. And you sell your couch and you sell your bed. And you sell your dishes, I guess. You are down to what? One pot of oil in the house. This is the end. This is it. I take God's word to say what it says. That's all she said she had left. I think she had tried all that she could, and they had worked themselves out of food, out of furnishings, and they were at the end. And one of the things that I'm just fascinated with in this story is that God wanted to reveal his glory, and he didn't need some strong man. He didn't need a young man to go out and fight a giant in this story. He didn't need someone to go conquer the Philistines. All he needed was a widow and her two boys who had nothing, but they were willing to turn to God and in faith obey God, and God received glory through this. And so I want to just take this story and go through fairly quickly and look at 10 characteristics of this woman that I believe allowed God's power to work through her, allowed God's glory to be seen in her, and allowed the God of Israel to be put on display because of just this little humble home who operated under the providence of God. A godly mother is not a perfect mother, but I think there are qualities that separate her from other mothers. There is something about a godly mother, and we want to look at some of these qualities. The first one is trust God with all your heart. I see a woman who here appears to be at the end of her rope. And I suppose that some of you have been there at times. But the question is what do you do when you get to the end of your rope, or you feel like you're at the end of your rope? This poor woman did not know what to do, did not know where to turn, or actually she did. She knew there was a God in Israel, and she knew there was a man of God who was in touch with the God of Israel who could probably help her. And in her pain and in her poverty, she did the one thing that she knew that she could do. And she turned to God and she trusted God with all of her heart. Again, we talked about her problem. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost her friend, her provider, her protector. She's broken. She's in debt. And she's facing possible further loss. The creditors are coming to take away her sons to pay off the debt. And it appears that that was actually allowed under Jewish law. If you look at Leviticus 25, maybe it was for a year, maybe it was for longer, maybe it was just, until the debt was paid off. But this pained her heart to think of this happening, and she thought certainly there needed to be another way. And in her desperation, she turned in trust, she turned to the man of God for help. Now, when you reach a low point in your life, the world and the flesh and the devil all want to say, God doesn't see, God doesn't care, it's just life, it's just how things are in our home right now, it's just, well, no, it's not just. It's not just, not for any of us. The fact is that God does see, and God does care, and God does know, and God does want to provide, and God does want to show himself strong in our homes and in every situation. God has given us many promises, and a godly mother trusts him to keep those promises. Mothers, trust him with all of your heart. And secondly, be humble and honest with your needs. We read the verse in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And we believe that. It's important to do. And lean not unto thine own understanding. See, I think that I find, at least as a man, that it's much easier to say, I've got this, than to say, I have no idea. We want to. I assume that's in the heart of a mother too, that I can do this. I'll figure a way through. The proverb writer says, lean not unto thine own understanding. As Elisha looked at this situation, as he listened to this woman crying out in desperation for help, he asked her two questions. What were those two questions? In my own words, the two questions were, what do you need? And what do you have? And in your mind, I want you to answer those two questions. What did she need? Well, she needed. Well, what did she need? What did she think she needed? Well, she needed desperately to be delivered from the situation that was going to bring her into greater bondage. She needed money to pay off her debts. She needed, and what did she have? Look at the need and look at what was in her house. And she said, I can't, I don't have it. These two questions, I believe, were in an effort to bring this woman to a place where she saw the size of her need and the smallness of her own resources, and she to lead her into a deeper trust of God. But she needed to be, and she was, honest enough with Elisha to say, I'm sorry, all I have, I mean, we've done what we could, but all I have is a little flask of oil. I believe often God does use the trials and the heartaches and the burdens of our lives to bring us to the place where we can more clearly see our own needs, our own weakness, and we rely on God, we're willing to be honest and say, I need you, Lord. I need you. See, as long as we can handle things, we're much less quick to turn to God and say, I need you. If we have all the answers, why do we turn to Him with our questions? But when we stop and honestly answer those two questions, what do you need and what do you have? Well, we say, if we're godly women, if we're godly men, we say, well, we have God, and let's turn to Him because He's the only one that can meet the need in our lives. And He did. He chose to use this widow to help solve the problem. It wasn't just a handout, but she needed to do what? She needed to obey God, and that's the third one. Obey God, no matter what. One of the ways that you choose godliness as a mother or as a father, as a young person, it's not just for mothers, but one of the ways that a mother chooses godliness in daily life is to choose to obey God no matter what. She couldn't see it, but God had already put in her house the very thing that was going to deliver her or be the solution to her problem. It was right there. Her answer to Elisha was that all she had was a pot of oil. Now, this pot refers to a flask, if you look it up. And it's the same word that's often used as when they took a flask of oil to anoint the head of a king or a prophet. And some commentators think this could have been the flask of oil that her husband, who was a prophet, used for anointing prophets. And this was kind of, this was perhaps, I don't know this, I don't want to use too much conjecture, but if it was, it was kind of a spiritual, it had some spiritual qualities to it. It was not only in remembrance of her husband, but it also seemed to be something that was sacred and something that God would use, and maybe something that she just didn't feel right selling. It's just interesting. That's the very last thing she hung on to in her house. She didn't get rid of it. It seemed little. It seemed insignificant. But it was the answer to her prayers. Now this widow is told to go to all of her neighbors and to borrow all the empty vessels that she can get her hands on. And I wonder what this sounded like. Just let your mind go a little bit. These are real stories. We don't know how it all went, but I want you to think. If you were to walk to your neighbor's house and ask for containers, what would you say you're going to do with them if you were in her situation? You could throw it all on the prophet and say, this crazy preacher told me to do this. You might say, just don't ask me why, but I want to borrow some of your pots and pans. I'll make sure to return them. Or maybe you would just be honest and say, I'm broke. And I think that God is going to answer my need through these pots and pans. And they say, excuse me? How would you explain it? Because I really don't think she understood how all this was going to work. Perhaps God used her to speak to her neighbors. God does want to use godly mothers to speak to neighbors. Maybe they thought she lost her mind. But the truth came out, and I believe that God was glorified through a woman who was willing to obey God, go to her neighbors, even if she was going to run the risk of looking a little strange. But God told her to, and she did it, obeying God no matter what. We had that question in our Sunday school lesson. We should have talked about it more, perhaps. I don't know. What are all the things? What are the things in your life that God asked you to do that you feel a little strange about? Or the things maybe that the world would say you shouldn't do, and God says you should do. Through those things, you can be a advertisement, a banner of God's grace, of God's goodness, of God's provisions, of God's blessing and of His power. Faith moved in this widow's heart, and she obeyed the Lord. She borrowed the vessels, and they went into their house. And I want you to let your mind go again. Imagine this scene in that little home that day. Here's a mother and her sons, and now they have all their empty vessels stacked around the sides of the house and a little flask of oil. And what did they do? Start pouring, right? That mother, in obedience to God, took that first container as her son brought it. That was a step across the threshold of faith and obedience. And she said, I'm going to pour. And imagine the reward of oil, right? What a tremendous story. I can't imagine what was going on in their minds and the conversations that must have happened and the excitement to see God answering their need right in front of their very eyes. But it did, just like the priests who had to step into that Jordan that was overflowing. God required of them obedience. And then he worked. A godly mother prays and reads the word of God and then obeys the word of God. And so does a godly father. That's what makes us godly. It's when we take what he said and we take his word and we do it. And we, through that, we become like him. We become little Christs. The bottom line is of life is that we obey God. We obey God and we leave the consequences to him, even when we don't understand. Choose obedience. Number four, nurture a godly atmosphere within your home. Perhaps these first qualities are more related to the story. We'll draw some parallels. Some of them are a little harder, but I think that they are they're here, perhaps, if we let our minds go a little bit. But what was the atmosphere inside the home that day? It says that they shut the door. They understood, she understood, that God was at work and there was something sacred and special going on inside this home this day. There was something that God was doing. God was there. God was working. And she desired that her heart would be prepared and her boys. Well, sometimes we sing this the song, Lord, I have shut the door. There's something about getting in the quietness of the awareness that God is here and we close the door and we're within and God is within. I wonder what the atmosphere is like inside your doors. As a mother, you have a lot of opportunity or ability to set the atmosphere within your home. Yes, your husbands do too. But as you're there with the children, and especially the younger children, what's the atmosphere like inside your doors? Is it an atmosphere of freedom and warmth and God awareness? Where you talk about God, you see God at work, you look at the birds and you talk about God and you hear the sounds and you say the birds are praising God. These things all set a tone or an atmosphere within our homes, an atmosphere that's welcoming, that's loving. Or it could be an atmosphere of stress and contention and talking about others. Is it a reflection of the Lord Jesus at work in your heart? It should be. Inside our homes, we need to understand that it is a sacred place. It's something that God has created. The home is an institution of God. I'm not just talking about the house and the house doors themselves, but inside your minivan doors too. And as you travel and as you relate with your children, set an atmosphere of godliness, a place where we see God and where God can work and where God is at work. Number five, display a forgiving spirit. I don't know what all this woman struggled with, but if you think about her losing her husband, you think about perhaps these creditors coming multiple times and rent's due. I can't Can you show me mercy? I need another week. I need another month. Nope, we're coming back. Imagine the turmoil that must have caused within her. And I don't know what all she struggled with. Perhaps others talked about them and them being poor. Perhaps she went to others begging for food and they turned her away. I don't know what all it was, but I see a woman here I assume that she was a woman who lived with a forgiving spirit, but I do believe that that is what God wants within our homes, because a forgiving spirit within our homes, or maybe we could start with the flip side, an unforgiving spirit within our home, just sets, when we're talking about atmosphere, sets a tone for tension and for stress. We don't need that in our homes. God doesn't want us to have that in our homes. God has given you, as mothers and fathers and young people, God's given you the capacity to forgive. And displaying a forgiving spirit is one of the qualities of a godly mother that we choose in daily life. The things that come up, the things that we hear, the things that maybe memories that come back to us, it's one of the things that will be a daily choice as to whether it will lead your family in godliness as whether you choose to forgive. Number six, be persistent. Now, when I say be persistent, I'm talking about having a goal and you're determined to accomplish it. In other words, just determination and dedication and persistence, not necessarily waiting for someone else to do it. This parallel struck me as I thought about this story. In this story, the way the story starts out, if nobody intervenes in this home, what happens? The boys get taken away, right? If nothing happens in your home to avoid it, the devil and the world would love to have the hearts of your boys, mothers, and your daughters. He wants to take them into slavery and into bondage. Someday this mother would, had she not turned to the prophet and turned to God in trust and had not, if she had said, that's a silly idea to go get those pots. All I have is this cup of oil. Why? I mean, that will never work. She may have sat there someday and said, what would have happened if I had just trusted God and obeyed God and believed God? I think about persistence in the life of a mother. How many times do you get up with a baby from ages 0 to 2? How many times do you get out of bed, leave the comforts of your bed? I have no idea. Some babies, it's 5, 10 times a night, right? Does God just plant within the heart of a mother a willingness to do that? Are y'all just excited to get out of bed and care for your babies? What? Maybe I should let you talk. But I think that a daily choice toward godliness brings with it this dedication or this persistence, as it were, that I have a goal. God has blessed me with this child, and I'm going to be persistent, and I'm going to do what it takes. And God waters that seed, as small as it may be, in the heart of a mother, and he blesses that work. A mother who's determined to be what God wants her to be. A woman who's determined not to give up. A mother who's persistent in prayer. A mother who's persistent in planting those seeds of truth in the lives of her children. Who reads to her children. Who helps them memorize scripture. Who teaches them songs. Just be persistent. These are little children who grow up so fast. God's looking for the daily choice of, well, to be persistent. I really think you need a goal to think about. These children have never-dying souls, and so quickly they move out of our homes. Number 7, choose a servant spirit. I don't know if this was just normal language for this day, but when she went to Elisha, she said, What did she call herself? She said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead," referring to her husband. And then he said, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house." And that word is a bondwoman. She willingly presented herself to Elisha as being a servant, as being a bondwoman. "I'm indebted to what you do for the cause of the kingdom. I'm indebted to you." Of course, Jesus is our ultimate example of a servant spirit. Mothers serve every day of their lives. It's the equivalent of being a mother, right? It's serving. Service is an outpouring of yourself. It's giving of yourself to others. A servant spirit doesn't ask, "What will I get out of this?" Instead, "How can I help? How can I serve? How can I give of myself for my children, for my husband?" So you have two choices. You can be a mother who reminds everyone how overworked you are and how underpaid you are. Or you can say, "This is God's calling on my life. I want to serve. And I'm going to find joy in serving." Choose a servant spirit. It will trickle down in the home. And your children and your husband will praise you for it. Number 8, be a generous person. Very similar to a servant spirit. But not selfish, not self-focused, willing to give. You may say, "Well, how was this woman generous? She didn't just give away her oil. She sold it. She charged people for it." One wouldn't just flip this story a little bit and think of it from a slightly different perspective. I want you to imagine today that somebody knocked on your door and said, "I need your pots and pans." What for? I think any one of you would say, "Sure, how many do you want?" Through the mothers who selflessly shared and generously shared their pots, God was glorified in this town. And in fact, the amount that this woman was blessed was in direct, a direct parallel to the generosity of the people who gave the containers, right? And so I see community here too. And your generosity blesses the lives of others in ways that you may never know, may never imagine what all it is. But it's God at work. And when you share with others, God is glorified. We see it in, you're called to it in hospitality, hosting people. I think that we should just be, as mothers, we should be, quick to lend, quick to share, quick to bless, quick to serve. And it takes a lot, understand. I don't want to set the bar too high, but God bless you for being generous, mothers. Remember, others are blessed when you share. Others' needs are met through you when you choose in daily life generosity. Number 9, be an encourager. Be an encourager. I think about this specifically in relation to raising children, but also with husbands as well. As a godly mother, one of the opportunities that you have is to make a difference in people's lives by being an encourager. By talking positive, by giving words of affirmation, by spurring them on to a greater walk, to greater choices. I think about the men in prison, and I wonder how many of them had mothers who were encouragers who said, "You can do this. I'm behind you. I'm praying for you." Perhaps some of them did, but I suppose there were more who had mothers who tore them down and said, "You'll never amount to anything. That's discouraging. Encouragement is a powerful thing. To your children, to your husband, tell them you're behind them. Show them that you care. You do this by taking time for them, giving them your attention, giving them a listening ear. God bless you, mothers. It takes a lot of time. But it's super impactful when you as mothers, to us as husbands and as children, when you are an encourager and you show us that you care about us and that you love us and that you want us to succeed. And number 10, love unconditionally. Of course, that's what mothers are supposed to do, right? A mother's love. We often talk about that. This whole story is recorded for us because there was a mother who desperately loved her children, who desperately loved her boys and was willing to go to almost any length, any extent, to keep those boys under her wings, to keep them under her influence, to keep them in her home. She cared deeply for them. She sacrificed deeply for them. She gave up everything except one memory of her husband. I don't know, something like that. Because she loved her boys. A mother's love. You may say that a mother's love is just inborn. It's something that a mother can't get away from. Something that's just natural. And I suppose that's true in many ways. But I still believe that loving your children is a daily choice. And a choice to walk in godliness. I saw a video of a woman some time ago who had been given up for adoption at a young age, and she had reached 21 years old or whatever it was when some of the things were unsealed, and she went looking for her mother, and she figured out who she was and the area she lived in, and one day confronted her in a grocery store, and she took a video of it, and that mother. That's almost too sad to even talk about. That mother looked at her and said, "You may never contact me again. I refuse to be called your mother. This was supposed to be sealed. Don't ever come look up me again. I have nothing to do with you." And you say, how can a mother do that? How can a mother turn her heart against her own child? I don't know. What I do know is that love is a choice. Love your children. Love them unconditionally. Love them despite their sickness and their colds and their runny noses. Love them despite their ungratefulness and their unthankfulness. Love your husbands despite their just assuming that the clothes will be clean and in the drawer. I'm sorry. Husbands, let's thank them for it. Don't be so assuming. But mothers, part of the choice to godliness in daily life is a choice to love and to love unconditionally. May God bless you as mothers. Again, Proverbs 31 says that a virtuous woman will be praised. And so I just want to bless you this morning for choosing to be godly mothers. The choice is in the daily grind in many ways. And when you do feel like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like you're facing problems that there's no way out, maybe when you feel like your heart is broken or your dreams are shattered, your hopes are dashed on the rocks, or maybe you feel like you're walking through a time of difficulty where you there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you're facing problems with your children that you can't solve or with your marriage. I want you to go back and read this story about a woman who was at the end of her rope. And yet she knew God was there and she turned to God. And in that, She found God's hand strong and mighty and meeting her needs in ways that she could have never imagined. God wants to do that for you, mothers. God bless you.